Greetings and welcome, America. I'm Wilmer Leon here. That's Dear Lord by John Coltrane, and you'll understand the significance of that in a moment. I'm going to forego my usual opening and go right to my first guest, a man whose voice you've heard on this program before, a Princeton University graduate, author, and scholar of international relations and conflict resolution, consultant to world leaders, and founder director of the Institute for Applied Spiritual Technology, Swami Krishnapad. Swami, welcome to On with Leon.
I'm excited to speak with you and your wonderful audience, Leon, and glad Wilma to be back in America for a while.
Thank you, thank you. To those of you who received my broadcast email message or looked to the website and are expecting different guests, I received a very troubling call late yesterday, on behalf of Swami asking for time on today's program, which resulted in a change of schedule. Swami, will you share with the audience the nature and reason for our discussion today?
Yes, just yesterday I came here in Pennsylvania, to my retreat center, one of the farm communities I oversee here in America. And literally, I came here to die. I have series of serious illnesses, terminal illnesses, that have come about within the last 8 or 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the main one is melanoma cancer. I have diabetes, I have arthritis, I have prostate problem, bladder problem, and I have an advanced state of terminal illness with melanoma cancer, and it's just passed on any treatment to be able to do anything. And so I've come here to bring the last aspect of closure, to much of my mission or my ministry. And since I am American, African American, it was very apropos for me to come back here to be in America, to make this kind of transcending.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's difficult for me, having gotten this call yesterday, to understand that this may be the last conversation that I have with you. But at the same time, I'm incredibly honored that you would ask that that this discussion take place on my program.
Mm-hmm.
Let's first talk about you came back to this country from the continent of Africa.
What was happening is I was the first of this year, I was getting ready to take off for another round the world tour. And every year for so many years I've just been doing these round the world tours where I do seminars and workshops in the business community, different faith communities, and also in the medical community. And I visit my monasteries and ashrams and farm projects in Africa and Australia and so many different countries.
Mm-hmm.
And my students. So, to be honest, at some point I felt that I wanted to step back. I do a lot of writing. I've written 17 books that are now in 15 different languages.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a book that'll be coming out in 3 weeks called Die Before Dying. And later in the show, I can tell you maybe about one or two other books that will be coming out in the next month or two. But the major issue is that I'm writing about servant leadership. As I travel, I'm meeting diplomats, presidents, and leaders, in the celebrity world, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing that basically we have more counterfeits. And it doesn't matter, whether it's in our own ethnic group or whatever, is that there's a tendency that people in leadership positions, they are opportunistic, utilitarian, that they're more concerned with how to use people to make things happen than to make things happen for the people.
Mm-hmm.
So I started at one point seeing, hey, it looks like my life is going in that direction also. Although I'm an African high chief, I'm a monk, my main identity is a monk, is a Swami.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I've made all kind of vows for celibacy and for chastity and dedication to this, to the service of humanity. So I was kind of in the mood of, in the Judeo-Christian confession, we have this thing called intercessory prayer. in the Buddhist paradigm, we have what's called the Bodhisattva, or the position of one who is ready to come back many lifetimes to help others, or ready to take on suffering of others.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we understand the spirit of Jesus and some of the other great teachers. Now, not that I'm anywhere in that category, but at the same time, I start making this prayer that, Lord, you've given me a wonderful life. You know, I'm 55 years old now. I still look like I'm about maybe my late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
I've traveled around the world many times. And you know, just have had amazing life. I have facilities, you know, students in almost every country. And I have houses and facilities that, you know, just stay vacant until I come here. And I thought, I'm taking more perks than what I'm giving.
Mm.
But particularly I was concerned about the degree of suffering. Some of my recent books, I deal with things like suicide and depression and phobias and anxieties and addictions. And so as I started studying that and getting more letters, you know, from all around the world, people who are in these kind of crises, I felt like, how to help them more. So in one sense, I felt part of my desire to help them more was an inner call that I had to strengthen my own purity. But I also was praying that, dear Lord, let whatever I need to experience, understand suffering more, allow whatever I need to have taken away or whatever I need to have come to me so that I can be a greater, you know, greater global transformer,
mm-hmm.
mainly to help minimize some of the suffering that especially those on the spiritual path, spiritual journey, are having. You know, so many people really trying to be spiritual, trying to be ethical, moral, that they're just finding so many difficulties.
Let me ask you, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Are you saying that as a result of your prayer to get greater insight into people's suffering, that your cancer and the advanced stages of your cancer are an answer to your prayer?
Oh, beyond that, I'm saying
okay.
Not only that.
Okay.
But what's understood in Vedic terms is karma.
Mm-hmm.
Is that there are certain entities who are karma free, or there are ways how we can take some karma from others. Some of the negative things that they are encountering or will encounter, that sometimes one can intervene. This is also the concept of Jesus dying for our sins. It's that similar principle. Is that some prophets, saints, they take on some extra stuff,
mm-hmm.
that's not necessarily their package per se,
yes.
As a way to help transform or to educate, or it's just a natural part of their love.
To lighten the load of the others.
I mean, basically, you know, I've been a very healthy person. I mean, I have a healthy, long lifeline. My father lived to be 96 years old, my mother almost 90. I mean, in some astrological predictions, I was to be on this planet for a long time.
In fact, that's one of the things that I wanted to get into in the next segment, because I know through my experience with some of your members, and some of your followers, I understand your dietary regimen. I understand your sleep regimen. I understand your holistic lifestyle regimen. And so it's very odd to me that someone who could practice the holistic lifestyle that you have practiced could come down with cancer, particularly in the advanced stages and apparently the rapid deterioration that you have faced.
Yes, and a cancer that usually people of color don't get.
Mm-hmm.
Not only cancer, usually cancer, you know, that Europeans, that white body folks get,
mm-hmm.
from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quite pretty dark, you know.
Yes.
So it was quite unusual. And the doctors, for instance, some of the alternative doctors I saw in Mexico and a few other countries, they said they've never saw anybody who had melanoma cancer to the depth of mine as advanced as it was in 30 or 35 years, you know, of their practice.
We're coming up. We need to pause for a moment, and I want to thank you so much for joining me. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with B.T. Swami Krishnapan, founder and director of the Institute for Applied Spiritual Technology. He has come on this program and has announced that he is in advanced stages of cancer. I'm not sure, sir, how much time they have given you.
Yes, I may have weeks, and you know, okay. I'm a stubborn person, so I may stretch to a few months.
Okay. We're gonna talk about more of your work when we come back. This is Dear Lord. I'm playing this for you, sir.
Okay.
Stay with me. We'll be back. We are back. What's happening, America? Dr. Wilmer Leon here. You're on with Leon on the Power. That's Dear Lord, John Coltrane on tenor, McCoy Tyner piano, Jimmy Garrison bass, Elvin Jones drums. I'm sorry, Roy Haynes on the drums. And I'm playing that, we're praying for my guest, V.T. Swami Krishnapad. He's come on the program and announced that the time is near. You will be transitioning from this space to a higher plane within weeks, some say. You've been diagnosed with a very aggressive form of melanoma. And Swami, thank you for coming on. Thank you for staying with me.
Thank you.
To those who may not be familiar with your work, you've been a spiritual, cultural, personal advisor to many world leaders, former South African President Nelson Mandela. I know you've traveled through many European countries, Russia, from some of the former Soviet republics. You're very, very well known at the highest echelons of world politics and leadership, but many people here may not be familiar with your work. Give us a little background, please. Let the audience know what you've been doing for the last 30 years.
I guess an example of a prophet sometimes not always known, in his own village.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm an author, as I said, of 17 books in 15 different languages, and I do a lot of writing on world order problems, on leadership, on community development, on interpersonal relationships, etc. And we can, come back to that later. I'm on a lot of international peace boards. I'm one of the also world leaders of the Hare Krishna movement. I'm an African high chief. And believe it or not, just 3 days ago, I just got an upgrade in the Niger Delta state. Some people know that area as Wari of Benin.
Mm-hmm.
So I was coordinated about 12 years ago. But just recently, literally this week, I was posted as in the top five in order, of that kingdom,
mm-hmm.
along with the the gentleman who's continuing for the office of president for the country.
And let people know that is not something to be taken lightly. You're probably the only American non-indigenous African to have received that post. Is that?
Yes, in Nigeria, I think Sheikhum and received similar posts in Ghana,
mm-hmm.
from the Ghana Shantihi. And in both of our cases, it wasn't just an honorary chieftainship, especially
mm-hmm.
in mine, because I was already connected with ancient Vedic culture for my studies, of the Afro-Asiatic cosmology,
mm-hmm.
and being the first African-American Vaishnava Swami in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I've oversaw cottage industries in these countries, and farms, and monasteries, and lots of self-help programs. So that was all part of what the commission, which is engendered from the commission me to, to that post.
And what has been some of the most recent work that you have done in your communities on the continent?
Some of the most recent work is in Africa and in Russia. See, my books sell more in Russian and in Croatian languages than in any other languages.
Hmm.
I mean, just by the tens and tens of thousands,
mm-hmm.
At a time. So when I go to those countries, the most countries I go to, I do good morning Moscow, good morning Australia, good morning Brazil,
mm-hmm.
good morning Nigeria, good morning Ghana, and the top talk shows.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I talk about how to involve ourselves in conscious raising activities,
mm-hmm.
how to solve many material problems with metaphysical and with spiritual solutions, and the significance of creating synergy and having a balance,
mm-hmm.
that our religion or our philosophies should be able to improve on the quality of life. And in some of these cases, I come in and I assist with conflict or resolution concerns, whether it's ethnic groups, conflicts, or religious conflicts. And then the cottage industry were mainly focusing in the village communities, that people are in such situations that are so impoverished that if they can be able to be educated with certain skills, more than just giving handouts.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, in my ministry, we very much, as part of the Hare Krishna movement activities also, we're famous for giving out you know, tons and tons of free food.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I was with, you know, with Nelson Mandela, we had a program like this in Durban, and we sponsored, we brought in 35,000 children, you know, to the, one of the biggest stadium, the biggest stadium there.
Mm-hmm.
We had this amazing program. We gave them all free lunches, but it was a spiritual culture program, really showing that the new, real New South Africa is based on the children, that the apartheid, fragmentation of some sort, apartheid, incarceration are so still strong in everybody's mind,
mm-hmm.
but the children are the future. And Nelson Mandela said one of the happiest days of his life. And then in America, most people know me, you know, maybe from Princeton, as John Favors, or Swami Krishnapad from my TV program
mm-hmm.
that I've been doing the last 10 years, and DC Cable and Virginia Cable, and, you know, some maybe 5 years in Michigan. And then from the Institute of Applied Spiritual Technology.
How did you receive your calling?
To be honest, since I was 6 years old, 7 years old, rather, I was a child evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
And so at 7, 8 years old, in Cleveland, Ohio, I used to appear on radio, and I would go to the mental institutions, and to the prisons, and to the hospitals. And so my ministry started, back at that time.
Mm-hmm.
There was always this inner pull and call to serve humanity.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in Cleveland, Ohio, in the ghettos. I mean, four sisters and one brother, and a mother who, you know, took care of the family. A father who was never around.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow, even though all of my basic associates were people who were drug addicts or in the dead or in prison, those old friends, so that somehow I just kept on having some higher vision and some resolve.
How did you get from that background to Princeton?
Well, I went to a prep school, Hawkins, outside of Midhurst, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
It was a prep school. I was the first the minority to graduate from the African American. And I got there from just doing certain humanitarian programs in the inner city, and somehow I got to there and went there for a year. And then after I was there at Princeton, even though my background was so sheltered, I mean, I was in a technical school and learning very little. I only had one or two serious grammar courses in my life. But all the new subjects that I took, I did so well. So the teacher saw that I just didn't have the proper background,
mm-hmm.
but I had the ability.
Mm-hmm.
So my superintendent of the school said, you can go to any school in the world you want to, that you have interesting qualities. And so I chose Princeton.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me, you know, tremendous scholarship and allowance and everything. And there I was a student council leader, and I found the Third World Cultural Center that's even existing today. It was, I think, 31st anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a center mainly, you know, for minorities, for African Americans, Africans, and Latinos, and Chicanos, etc.
How, we have just about a minute and a half before we need to break. Looking at your focus to a great degree is conflict resolution.
Yes, but inner as well as outer. In other words, there'll always be violence and war when we are so violent toward ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to look closer at how we have inner peace. If we're, and I don't have to go, if we're taking violent food, eating, having violent drinks, having violent relationships, having violent music, if we're honoring violence and the leadership, you know, on and on, what are we going to have is more violence.
Mm-hmm.
So if people look closer at what they're doing with themselves, they can see that they will be able to change themselves in a way to change the community, change the society, to change the world.
One of the things that I want to get into, and we're going to need to break in just about 30 seconds, one of the things that I wanted to try and get some of your insight into is some of the conflict that as a country we find ourselves engaged in right now, and some of the things that you can speak to that may address some of the issues as we look at what's going on in the Middle East, as we look at even more discussion about what might be going on in Central Asia. What are some of the things that we might be able to do to as a country to resolve some of this conflict?
Okay.
Stay with me, please. Ladies and gentlemen, Wilmer Leon here. You're on Leon on the Power. We're talking with B.T. Swami Krishnapad, who a world spiritual leader. and is on the program letting us know that he has advanced stages of melanoma and will not be with us in this earthly space much longer. And we're very blessed and fortunate to have him join us and impart some of his wisdom upon us. John Coltrane, Dear Lord, is going to take us into this break. Stay with me. We'll be back. We are back. We are back. What's happening, America? Dr. Wilmer Leon here. You're on with Leon on the Power. That's the tenor of John Coltrane, Dear Lord, is the cut. And I found it fitting to play based on the discussion that we're having with my guest, B.T. Swami. Swami Krishnapad has joined us to let us know that he will be passing, making the transition into the next realm very, very shortly due to advanced stages of melanoma. And he's just giving us some insight into where he's been and what he's been doing. One of the things...
before we give another stage, it's interesting that you're playing, this Coltrane piece. Because, the Coltranes are very, very dear to me, especially Alice Coltrane.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. We have interfaced many times, and sometimes I would take some of my students to visit her community.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, she would assemble it. A couple of times we did two programs together.
Okay.
Because she made a huge shift after John passed.
Mm-hmm.
And she's quite, a spiritual advisor.
Uh-huh.
And finds amazing ways to raise consciousness for many people. He's a little private,
mm-hmm.
in terms of making himself available.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's very interesting that you're playing this now. I think you were inspired in the heart.
I sat for a while trying to figure out what to play, and this is what came to me. So thank you for that compliment and the insight. We were going into the last break. We were talking about conflict resolution. The United States right now not only finds itself involved in conflict, but many would say, particularly former South African President Nelson Mandela, that the United States is one of the greatest purveyors of violence in the world right now. You have a book coming out about war and terrorism. Talk about that, please.
I have two books coming real soon. I have a book, Die Before Dying, which goes through the death process, and I think will present many interesting things to those who are facing terminal illness or have loved ones who are going through that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then in about 5 weeks or so, one of my new books that's coming out is called War, Terrorism, Fanaticism, and the Peace Solution. And I've dedicated that book to the country of Mauritius. See, one of the areas of the world that I worked in the last 3 or 4 years was South Africa and Mauritius.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was invited to Mauritius to present a proposal to help to arrest social degradation for the country. It's a very diversified country in terms of ethnicity as well as religiosity.
Mm-hmm.
One of the few countries in the world that hasn't began to have massive problems in those areas.
Okay.
So I was trying to, one, help them to warn off some of the things that other countries have experienced by looking at the patterns that develop, and to give them, which would give about 108 different things that involve the military, the diplomatic corps, the police, the entertainment community, the media community, etc.,
mm-hmm.
that they could do to make a difference. So some of the leaders of that country wrote the forwards and other epilogues to the book, and I dedicated it to them. Because what we're dealing with is our greatest problem facing the world is fragmentation. And it's either excessive nationalism, excessive tribalism, excessive genderism, religious fanaticism.
Mm-hmm.
All of these is part of a similar kind of disease. It's a disease of egocentricity, of too much focus on individualism, my group, my political organization, my tribe, and too much...
My faith,
and too much a fixation on materialism.
Mm-hmm.
As we analyze and understand that we're more than just the physical entities, that we are ultimately beings that have a spiritual nature, and the body is temporary. The body, you know, whether the body is white, black, yellow, etc., the body is a custom. And what's important is not always just the body or the vehicle we use, but the consciousness.
How do we reconcile a president who says, God told me to invade Iraq?
Well, that's what's so serious at this time. That's why I wrote this book, is that religiosity is being hijacked. It is not that, you know, people should be afraid of being religious, and to look at how many religious people have caused some of the greatest inhumanity to humankind. It's just that there are manipulative and exploitative people.
Mm-hmm.
And whether they involve themselves in commerce, in education, in culture, or in religiosity, is that they will find ways to capitalize and to manipulate for ulterior motives.
Mm-hmm.
So religion being so empowering, and people may be so vulnerable as they think and accept that something is divine, then sometimes we have people who have even almost like a demonic tendency, who will profess to be religious while they really use it as a way to to motivate people, to stimulate people, and to justify all kinds of nonsense.
As even with terrorists who Islamic fundamentalists who were saying that Islam had told them under the concept of jihad to bomb buildings and do what they've been doing.
Yes, and we look back historically speaking, we'll find almost every major religion has at different times used God and used people for politics,
mm-hmm.
Or for commerce.
Usually,
so
as a
nothing new.
Usually, as a result of people being oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
Out of oppression, my research has shown that people tend to turn to religion and religious fundamentalism as their source of sustenance as they resist their oppression or oppressor.
Because people are starving for love.
Mm-hmm.
And the greatest love of love, is connected, with the Godhead. Just like, as I said, my books are more popular in Russia, and I probably have more students there than almost any other part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But part of the reason is that the people were so denied religion for so long,
mm-hmm.
It's so natural, and once they were having the chance to have it, then in many cases they grab it in a very deep way, in a deep sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we're needing that kind of solace, but it can be exploited, and it's happening time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
Like I explained in my leadership book, there's a need for good leaders, but there's a need for people to recognize good leaders.
Mm-hmm.
See, the real leader is not necessarily somebody who wants to lead, but the servant leader is someone who really doesn't want to lead, but they are determined to see the caring and the facilitation process takes place, and so therefore they jump ahead to facilitate and organize and to lead, we would say, because they want to make sure that the best for the people is going on.
Mm-hmm.
But we usually find people more prone for leadership are those who really have a condescending mood toward others, or have some utilitarian concerns. Practically every problem we have, Dr. Omar, whatever it is, has to do with a crisis in leadership. When our leaders are more principle-centered, lead with integrity, when their private and public life is the same, etc., when they are more eclectic and more void of fanaticism and sectarianism and racism, etc., then we'll see that the mass of the people would just naturally change. And that's one of the reasons I took this kind of task on me,
mm-hmm.
is that, and meeting so many leaders, I'm telling you, I met only a few genuine leaders in 30 years, and I met rolls and rolls of presidents and diplomats.
Who would you, if you don't mind mentioning some names, who would you, if you mentioned two or three that you would say were true leaders that you have met in your travels?
Well, since most of our audience is African American, I think some people like Julius Nyerere and let's see, the Nelson Mandela, mm-hmm. in their own way. I mean, they were more principle-centered
mm-hmm.
Than most.
Mm-hmm.
President Zambia, President Kanda of Zambia, was quite exceptional most of his life.
Mm-hmm.
But see, power has its amazing ways to affect people.
Yeah.
And unless we're constantly taking inventory and constantly trying to see what are the real needs of the people,
mm-hmm.
we will have more tendency to, to misuse power. And especially unless we are connected somehow with the spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just so many things that people have to encounter when they're engaged in bureaucracies and autocracy. It's unbelievable. I've just seen so many good men and women who start off so well, and they get higher and higher positions, and they get caught up and incarcerated in these paradigms,
mm-hmm.
and they just can't get out of them.
Let me stop you right there. We need to pause. Ladies and gentlemen, Wilmer Leon here. We're talking with Swami Krishnapar, and this is Dear Lord John Coltrane taking us into this break. Sounds like McCoy Tyner on piano. Stay with me. We'll be back. We're back. We are back, and you're on with Leon on the Power. We're talking with Swami Krishnapar, and he's joined us today to tell us that he has he's in the advanced stages of melanoma, and that your days on this planet are not much longer. Again, I'm honored that you chose this program to engage in that discussion. I want to say it has been a difficult program for me to do, but with that we will continue. You mentioned during the break that there were two leaders that you wanted people, you felt that people needed to know about.
Oh yeah, and I think members of our listening audience, aware of them. I mean, the amazing services that Mr. Farrakhan has done, Minister Farrakhan, and also the Honorable Ben Amin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have done very amazing work, and as most of us are aware, their records are clean, and that they are constantly in prayer, trying to see how to serve better.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to stop just waiting for leaders to make things happen. It's like in the scriptures, we're waiting for the second coming of Jesus. And the Buddhas are waiting, for the coming of the Maitreya. And the Jews are waiting for the Messiah. We go on and on and on. But we have to live our lives in such a way as if these personalities are already with us, and to live in a way that they would be pleased and God would be pleased. We can't really be good leaders if we're not good followers. We can't anyway build, good teams unless we're ourselves strong team players. We surely can't teach our kids self-discipline unless we're self-disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
And, for instance, we can't enjoy a happy marriage if we're not a good partner. We can't have a good network of friends unless we're good friends. And we can't have a healthy community unless we are good neighbors ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So each person has the ability within him or herself to make the society and the world better. Each of us should be looking at what do we have to change in ourselves to change the community. And we realize that we have that kind of power in connection with God, and so many wonderful things can actually happen.
The next book that you have coming out, Die Before Dying, written from the perspective of a man who he himself is dying and going to pass on very, very soon. It's very timely with the Mary Schiavo issue that we're dealing with now. The Pope is dying. Touch on, in just the last few minutes that we have, please, touch on your perspective in that regard.
Okay. Let me get my website, because
it's please do.
Time. People can order the books and look further at the work that we do. We can be reached at www.ifast.net, N-E-T.
Okay.
Or B-T-Swami, B-T-S-W-A-M-I, www.thedrdoctor.com.
Okay.
And from there, they can connect with my website in other languages if English is not the best language.
Okay.
We had an amazing crisis in the global community. Well, there's almost like a fight that's going on between the pious and the impious. On a gross level, the most important, on a subtle level. So there are so many things that's going on trying to incarcerate and harness the minds of the global citizens. A lot of that's coming through entertainment, it's coming, you know, through the media. I mean, it's been proven now that when a television is introduced to a country, in less than 10 to 15 years, the murder rate doubles. I mean, so many things happen when we are internalizing things that's full of promiscuity.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll find in the coming years a lot of exposés, because people who have been hiding, they'll be more revealed, and with their spiritual potency, you know, that will come out. And some prophets and teachers will do as I'm doing now. Part of the mission will, you know, will come to a closure.
Mm-hmm.
And they will physically leave the physical body while they interact on higher realms, and many times have even more influence on this realm than they did when they were engrossed, incarcerated within the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to be amazed to see more revelations in some people who we thought were authentic who weren't, and more potency with those who are going deeper in their spirituality. They'll get the greater sense of empowerment, and we'll see interesting birth and death. Certain special souls are taking birth to help with the evolution of what is to take place on this planet very soon, and certain souls are leaving. In many cases, you know, they're connected
mm-hmm.
with the upgrading of the planet.
That goes back to something that you said very early in this discussion. You said we have many counterfeits among us. I'm not going to ask you to call anybody out, but elaborate on that if you could, please.
Well, we just have to look and see. Does the leader's private and public life, is it similar? Do they have a unified standard, you know, of morality? Does the leader lead with integrity?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my book, I talk about principles of authentic leader.
Mm-hmm.
That they love people and are sensitive to their emotions and needs. They help people feel happy and secure. They create lasting value at all times. They are very much natural philosophers because they're constantly looking for truth. They lead from the inside out, knowing that character is power. They're principle-centered, they're powerful visionaries. They engage people according to their propensities, expert in delegation, and they are servant leaders who leave behind a culture of enduring excellence. And they lead from the spirit of, you know, knowing that they're being watched by the Godhead. So we have this kind of mm-hmm. authentic leaders who are accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I discuss about the power of the four C's. Such true leaders, they, in this order of importance, character, is there wisdom, great character, competence, compassion, and courage. And if they are able to have these kinds of qualities, then so much of what they do will impact on the society and will help to create a better world order. We're at a time now, it's almost like humanity is taking its final exams. I mean, there's threat of nuclear, chemical, biological war. Everywhere now there's rise in racism and ethnic problems, economic problems and diseases
mm-hmm.
and all over. Looking at some statistics, and they're saying that more than a third of Americans in the next 5 to 10 years, you know, will have cancer. And with the fear of AIDS, and there's so many things that we are confronted with, it shows that there are some imbalances, there's some unnatural things that's going on that we have all having to deal with, because disease itself usually is unnatural.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, I said I was quite healthy, and I prayed that I could experience whatever was necessary to help me to be a better transformer, help me have greater compassion, that allow me to take away some of the misery and sufferings of others. And if you look at my websites and chat rooms, you'll see that amazing effects that my disease has had on just tens of thousands of people all around the world.
Mm.
And the last book that I'm doing will have also an effect.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very likely that even as I leave the planet, that much of what I've tried to share in the international community will be understood more here in America, mm-hmm. and that people will be able to appreciate more of the kind of things that, you know, we were inspired to do
mm-hmm.
during these years.
Mm-hmm.
And as I leave this body, and it's not sure whether it'll be a few weeks or in a few months, I'm in some of the last stages. I may go through one more stage of deterioration. Even now that I'm so ill, you know, my voice is strong.
Mm-hmm.
I have amputated leg from the operation from the cancer. Cancer is all over my body, you know, and I got the diabetes and the prostate problems and the arthritis. And I mean, pretty much, you know, the body is finished.
Mm-hmm.
I can be picked up and carried around, you know, to the bath, to our room, to be washed, everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a fully... Although it's one of the more difficult times in my life, it's one of the most glorious times, because it's the time that my heart is opened up more, my conscience opened up more, and I feel more mercy from the Lord in spite of what's happening to the physical body, and more desire to try to offer value in these last days that I have.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I get some of my public arranged for me to speak on your program, because they know that, you know, I'm very concerned about being able to be relevant in all kinds of environments.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not the kind of person who wants to be, you know, consulting to celebrities and diplomats and get a lot of fame and monuments and rewards and money.
Mm-hmm.
But my concern is everyone is a servant of God, and we can see God in everyone if we treat them in that way. We should treat each person just the success of our own material and spiritual life is based on how we treat each individual that we come in contact with.
Well, sir, thank you for your time today. Thank you for your life and your work. People can go to www.ifast.net or www.dtswami.com, and your work will live on through those that you have taught and through the books and writings that you have published. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. This is probably the last time that we'll be able to talk, at least in this lifetime.
Yes, sir.
But thank you so much, and I think we'll be strong. So.
Thank you very much.
Peace and love. Thanks.
Peace to you, sir. That's a real goodbye.